are you concerned about protecting that brand new pretty sled that you just got? Here's the solution. Use SledSyn24 for a 15% off discount code on some Backwoods bumpers, the industry leader in performance protection.
Well, SledSyn listeners, welcome back to the next episode of the SledSyn podcast. We are officially emptied out on the Heydays bank of episodes. So moving forward, these will all be fresh episodes. This is filming this on Sunday, just before the SledSyn ride. So this will come out Friday, which will be the first day of the SledSyn ride this coming up weekend. But yeah, so we wanted to jump on here and, we're going to cover two, three topics. For the first time, we have one of our ambassadors on here. We've got Jose. So we'll introduce him. And then, last weekend we took a level one Airy avalanche training course, all of us. Kobe's not here 'cause he's riding. So we'll talk about that with the Wallowa Avalanche Center. And, we'll hit on a couple other small things after that as well. But let's just get right into it. So, Jose, welcome to the SledSyn podcast, dog.
Thanks, man. I'm hyped. Glad to be here.
Excited. First podcast too, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
First one ever.
So you've been a big supporter of SledSyn for a while, and we've been talking about you jumping on the podcast. We tried the one time that we set up here, but you had to take off. But you're here now, dog. I am.
Yeah.
Appreciate you being here.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
So you want to let the listeners and viewers know a little bit about you outside of the snowmobile stuff first?
Yeah.
Personal side?
I live in Umatilla, about 10 minutes from Tyler's house here in Hermiston. Just kind of met up with these guys one weekend and went and rode one time at Catherine Creek and had a blast there, and it kind of started off there. I'm a heavy equipment operator by trade. Other than that, I don't really do much in the summer. Like to get out on the water.
Yeah.
Like to get out on the water, and in the winter we get to go ride when we can, if there's snow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a sore topic right now.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to get into it.
Shay and Jose, you guys have been friends since before I met you, yeah. Right? How'd you guys meet?
Through a mutual friend, right?
Yep.
AJ?
Yep. Sure.
I actually don't. Oh, that was riding. We met through riding that first time. That was a fun experience too.
That's
actually
a good story we can get into, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, talk about that.
The first time I met Shay, me and AJ were gonna go ride, and he was like, "Oh, my buddy Shay's gonna come up and ride with us. He's just gonna meet us up there." And we usually go. We leave the house at like 7 or whatever, and got up to the snow park at like 8:30, and we rode for a little bit. And at like 10:30, 11 o'clock, he was like, "Hey, let's go back down to the truck and let's go pick up Shay." And so we get down there, and you were getting dressed or whatever, and
yep.
You hopped on your sled, and we took off, and we started playing for a little bit, and somehow you ended up right behind me, and we got onto this little, I wouldn't even call it a hill. It was just like a very, very gradual incline. And
a bunny hill.
Yeah, a bunny hill. And we got up to the hill, and Shay was behind me, and I'm thinking to myself, like, all right, I'm not going to let Shay know that I'm going to get after it, you know? So I start going up, I start cutting across, and I'm side hilling, and it's fairly open. There's one like 8-foot tree in the middle of this hill. And all I'm thinking is, don't hit that tree. Like in my head, don't hit that tree. Don't hit that tree. Right when I got to the tree, I started to turn up, right? I looked up, did everything right, mm-hmm. right? Looked up, finger on the brake, everything side hill, gave it some gas and went to take off. Right next to that tree, there was a nice like 12-inch stump.
You would have never seen it. Dude. Like it was perfectly covered.
It was covered. Yeah, it's probably, see it at all. I don't know, a foot and a half under the snow. Just never saw it. Couldn't even tell that it was there. Everything looked nice. And I just drove my spindle right into it, dude.
It was gnarly.
Oh, man. Spindle right into the stump. My handlebars snapped back into my chest, and I had my phone in like the pocket of my bibs. Oh, yeah. Dude, my handlebars snapped back into my chest, knocked the wind out of me. I scorpioned over my handlebars, and I got on the radio, and these guys took off. I got on the radio, and I was like, yo, I just broke something, like out of breath, wind knocked out. Oh, I just broke something. And they came down all freaking out, thinking I broke something, like an arm or something. Yeah. And they're like, you good? And I was like, yeah, I think I broke something on my sled. And, I broke some stuff on my sled.
Yeah.
My bottom A arm sheared completely off, like both sides just broke off. The top one was all bent. My spindle was fine. Blew out a ski rubber, blew out the ski, and blew out the shock too. So
that was an expensive day.
Yeah, oh, dude, took out the whole left side essentially.
Yeah.
Well, you broke something else too, didn't you?
Oh yeah, my phone, dude.
Shattered my phone.
It did not live to see another day.
That probably saved your rib.
Probably.
Oh, dude, probably. I was still bruised across my chest for 2 weeks.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah, my handlebars snapped back hard.
He like whips out his phone and it's just completely shattered. I don't know if you're going to take a picture of it or something or something.
Yeah, I was going to take a picture.
Whipped out the phone and was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Shattered.
Just gone, dude. Mm-hmm. Screen wouldn't even light up. Like I pulled it out of my pocket and like the tempered glass was chipping off and falling on me and stuff. I was like, oh. It was all indented too. I set it on the table when I got home and you could teeter totter it. It was gnarly.
So that sucked.
Things get rowdy when you involve Knob Hill.
Dude, hey, first ride with, hey, listeners, first time you ride with Shay, Knob expect Hill, to mean? Break something.
Knob Hill. I wouldn't say, I don't know. Maybe not every time. I don't know. AJ had bad luck. I think the first time we went riding, he smoked an A arm. You smoked an A arm. But it wasn't, I don't know. We weren't in anything crazy. Reached out and grabbed you.
What was your first initial thought when you saw that? Like, oh no, I'm not going to ride with this guy again. Or
no, I was like, my first initial thought was,
I'm glad it wasn't me.
Well, that was always an initial thought, I think. But it was, who's riding this out? Because there's no way, you know, we're gonna have to one ski this thing all the way out. I think that was my first initial thought.
Well, and then to make it worse.
Aside from your safety, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
I was happy about that.
Of course. To make it worse, like I jammed up my thumb when I hit, like before going over, and I twisted my arm up under me.
Yep.
And so my thumb was all swollen back to my wrist and I couldn't, this was before I got the finger throttle. And this is why I got the finger throttle was I couldn't even squeeze my throttle. Like I had my fingers on my handlebars. And I was like pushing the throttle with my palm trying to get out of there. Mm-hmm. On top of trying to side hill on the right side of my sled down the trail to get back to the truck. That sucked. I did not have a very good time after that.
We're lucky the trail wasn't all mashed up like it typically is.
I think we went on like a Friday or something like that. There was nobody there. We were the only two trucks in the snow park.
I know it was a weekday. That's why I was so late is because I dropped the little one off at daycare.
Yeah.
And then went up there.
This is up in Washington.
No, this was out of Tollgate.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. We went out of Woodland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It was fun, though. It was good snow that day, or decent snow at least. Yeah, actually, it was pretty good snow that day.
Yeah.
It was a quick turnaround, but it was still glad everything was okay.
Yeah.
And then loading it back up onto the deck and took off.
Yeah. I felt more bad for Shay. I felt bad coming back to the truck because I was like, dude, you guys go ride. Like, I'll limp this thing back to the truck. And they didn't want to leave me, which I'm glad they didn't because
it's a good rule to follow.
Yeah.
We ended up switching back and forth. Like, I hopped on Shay's sled for a little bit. And then AJ, we just kind of rotated sleds for a little bit and then got it back to the truck. But by the time I got back there, dude, my whole chest was hurting. My hand, my wrist, and everything was killing me, dude. And I was just like, I'm ready to be in the truck and be done.
Yeah.
How many rides did you have under your belt at that point?
That was the first year I had my Axis. That was the first year, and that was probably it was the last ride of the year, I think. I think it was in April.
Oh. Yeah, it was late. It was a late ride.
It was a late ride, so it was the last ride of the year. But still wasn't very fun.
Puked snow that night because I went back up the next. Yeah, I think this was a Friday.
Yeah,
because it was sun. It had just snowed. It was kind of sunny for us. Beautiful day, and then it literally just puked snow all night, and then the next day, and we went up the next day, and it was just white out.
Yeah, I remember,
it was
awesome. You sent AJ a video or something, I think, and AJ sent it to me and was like, "Let's go ride." And I'm like, "Yeah, cool. On what?
You gotta tow me on a little sled.
What do you want me to? Yeah. Well, it'd be like the first time he took me to go ride, dude. Oh, he took me on his uncle's. I don't even know what it was. It wasn't like a refrigerator for a sled, just low to the ground, heavy. my first time ever being on a snowmobile. And he was like, hey, let's go ride. And I was like, all right, cool. Yeah, it sounds like fun. Well, I get up there and I can't even figure out how to get off the trail. Like, I'm like, I don't know what to do. And, dude, that day was brutal. Just, he was like, you just got to give it throttle and lean and turn.
What was he on?
AJ was on the Pro that I have now. I bought his, I think it's a 14, a Pro 800. He was on that. This is before he bought his Axis. And I was on his uncle's sled. And dude, that day sucked so bad. I remember I got home and I told my girlfriend, I was like, hey, if AJ ever hits me up to go ride again, I'm going to tell him that you said no. Because I don't want to go. I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah,
that's
dude.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it was bad. I remember thinking to myself, like, oh, never again, dude. Never again am I going to get on a snowmobile.
So what made you change that then?
So the later that year, we went up to Wallowa Lake. And we rented a cabin and stuff. And he had just bought his Axis. So he had his Axis and his Pro. And he was like, hey, let's go up to the cabin and go snowmobile. And in my head, I'm thinking, no. Like, no, I don't want to. I'll go up to the cabin, but we don't have to take the sled. And he was like, you can ride my sled. It's night and day difference. You know, you'll be fine. Well, I hopped on that Pro and it was night and day difference, dude. Like, it was actually fun. I was still stuck. I was still falling off and everything, but night and day difference, dude. And that was it. We went and rode one day on Saturday when we got there, and I got back to the cabin and I told him, like, I'm buying that sled off you. And it was in my house next weekend.
Heck yeah.
That was it. That was it. That's what got me back.
And what do you want right now?
I got a 21850 Axis Pro 163. I need all the track I can get. Yeah, no, it's even just from the Pro to the Axis, dude, it's crazy.
Yeah, big difference.
Yeah, big difference. I can't imagine these matrixes.
Oh, they're a blast.
Oh, dude, they look like a blast.
They're squirrely, huh, Tyler?
Yeah. Dude, I got...
The chaos is squirrely.
Yes.
I got on GoPro when we were at our Abbey course, and you almost mousetrapped yourself.
When I did?
Yeah. Yeah, we were on our way back, and we were playing on everything on our way back to the truck.
Uh-huh.
And we came off a hill, hit the trail, and then you were going to go back up one, but that bank was steep.
Oh, yeah.
So you hit it, and then your sled almost came right on top of you, and I was right behind you. I just so happened to turn my head and look over, and I got the tail end of that sled coming down. Yeah.
Nice. How did you find out about Sled Send? Because you went and rode last season. That was my first time meeting you. You went and rode. You and AJ went with Jeff and I.
Yep.
How did you find out about Sledson
through AJ? Yeah, we were going to Tollgate one time, and I think we saw your truck or something, and he was like, you know who that is? And I was like, no. And he was like, it's Tyler Smith that lives in Hermiston. I don't know if he said podcast or what he said, but he was like, it's Sledson, that's him. And so then I looked you up, and then I started following and everything, and then I think later that year was last year when we went to go ride.
Yeah. Okay.
Went to Catherine Creek.
Curious. I thought it was through AJ. I just didn't know how.
Yeah.
It's always interesting asking people how they find out about us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anything else you want to touch on before we get into some Abby stuff?
Let's get into some Abby stuff, dude.
Okay. Yeah. Jeff, did you have any funny questions for Jose or anything?
Not off the top of my head.
No? Okay.
We don't want to let loose quite yet.
I'll think of
something. Yeah.
Before we talk about Abby stuff, I do want to mention that we do have some special guests again. We've got Blake with us, Jeff's daughter. And then I'm sure, Shay, you said Charlotte's going to kick open the door here at some point.
I'm sure she'll bust down the door. Yep, when she gets back.
Nice. And then, for the first time, we have my daughter, actually, Addison, off camera. Do you want to come over here and say hi? You can sit next to between Jeff and Shay. Shay will give you his microphone. So this is my daughter, Addison. How old are you, Addison?
11.
11, yeah. Do you want to say hi to the listeners and viewers? Like, talk into the microphone and say hi? Because not everybody's watching. Some people are just listening. So say hi again.
Hi.
I like your hat.
It is a good hat.
Yeah.
Good color, too.
decked out in
sick sweater,
a player's hat, and a Sledsend hoodie. So I can't remember, Addison, if you've been probably season one. I think you might have been in the office maybe when we've filmed a podcast before.
I think I might have, maybe.
So what do you think so far? You've been sitting here. You watch us set up everything. What do you think of the podcast?
Pretty cool.
Yeah. We gonna get you out on the sled this season?
Hopefully.
I hope so.
It's been a while since I've taken you. I think the last time we were with Slade and Amy, they were in the side by side, and you rode with me. That was a couple years ago now, but. You were holding on to the mountain bar, and you were, what happened when I would side hill, get up on edge on the sled? Do you remember that?
Not clearly.
No? You got scared. Remember? I think you almost might have started crying.
I probably did.
Yeah. What do you think of this whole snowmobile thing?
It's cool.
Yeah.
You think you're going to get into it?
Maybe.
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 Yeah. Your dad gets you a snowmobile? Yeah.
He already got her one. There's a nice little 9R146 sitting in the shop.
Yeah. 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 When's the play date, Shay, in Yakima?
The 25th.
25th?
I think it's the, yeah, it's the weekend.
That'd be a Sunday, I think.
Yeah. It's a Sunday.
It's a Saturday that it's on, so I'd have to look.
Oh, that's the 24th?
The 24th, yeah. So February, yeah. Typically, people come up the 23rd and stay. And then the 25th, you don't have to come up the 23rd, but yeah, the 24th is when it actually happens. And then you ride most of the day, but there's a lot of fun things to do outside of just riding itself.
Yeah, we're going up too.
Are you?
For that Yakima one.
Yeah, I've got 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Booked.
Gotcha. For what?
Can't talk about it, dog.
Can't talk about it.
That play date, bro. That's what it's booked for.
Well, anyways, we'll have to. I need to take Lindsay out too, so we'll just have to go up to the cabin, the toll gate or something, and get you out. We need to get you some. We need to get you a climb suit, some actual good gear. Mm-hmm. Get you back out on the snow. Okay. Well, cool. I know you're kind of nervous to be on here, so we'll let you jump back off. But I appreciate you coming on and saying hi to the listeners and viewers.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You hear the dog?
Yeah, the dog is not very happy. She wants inside too.
Say hi.
So yeah, like I said, I think Addison's only been around us one other time when we were still in Jeff and I's office in the studio, and so. She's hanging out with me and Lindsay this weekend, and I wanted to bring her out here and introduce her to you guys that are listening and watching, and have her kind of see what the process is of, because she's watched the podcast like on YouTube and stuff, and she sees what you guys see, but she hasn't really seen the behind the scenes of what it actually takes to put this show on. So I wanted to introduce her. Yeah. Avalanche course stuff?
Yeah, I'm down. Let's do it.
Okay, so
should we wait for Shay to get back in here?
Well, I'll talk a little bit first before Shay gets back on here. But so yeah, two seasons ago, I took a level one avalanche course with the Wallowa Avalanche Center outside of it's up at Catherine Creek outside of La Grande, Oregon. I took that course with my buddy Jordan Bennett. And then made a new buddy, Josh Fuel, at that, course as well. And I learned a ton. I was, really impressed with the Wallowa Avalanche Center and their in-depth teaching for 2 days. So that one, it was the 2 day motorized level one, but then the Friday, was a full rescue. Oh, she almost tripped over those wires, was a full day of, rescue training. And, yeah, the Wallowa Avalanche Center put on an incredible course. I learned a ton. Was super surprised at how little I actually knew.
Yeah.
So then after doing that and then going into this season, kind of like this summer and stuff, I talked with Jeff and Shay and Kobe, and I kind of framed it kind of harsh, but
rightfully so, though.
Rightfully so. So I kind of framed it in the sense of that it was pretty much required for those three to take the course. Otherwise, they wouldn't be a part of Sled Send. Which sounds harsh, but, I mean, it comes down to the fact that, like, I care about my life. And I have Addison. Yeah, I have Lindsay. Sure. And if I'm the only one that has the knowledge and I'm buried, then what?
Yeah.
You know? And the other part, too, is that the most amount of my time riding is with the three of you, right? Like, versus yep. anybody else, right? I spend more time on the snow with you guys. And so, yeah, so by getting you three to go on, we were able to get Jose to come with us as well. We were able to get Kobe's buddy that he spends a lot of time with, riding Tate Gentry, up there out of Heppner. And then we were able to get Sean, Jeff's dad, to come with us as well. That was all of us, right? Seven of us?
Yeah, I think so.
Said Tate?
Yeah, yeah. I said Tate.
Yep.
It's all of us. Yeah, so we had seven of us, so it was cool to get a couple additional outside of the main team. And so I'll let... Like, I know kind of everybody's a little bit of mindset going into it, but I will let each of you speak to kind of your guys' thoughts prior to the class, of what you thought about it, what you thought you were going to get out of it, like, and then we'll go into, like, what we actually learned and how surprised you guys were. But so, Jose, kind of start with you. Like, you know, I reached out to you and said you should come do this with us. What was kind of your initial thought about the idea of taking that course?
Hey, what's up, guys? I want to take a quick second to introduce another one of this year's sponsors. We have RSI. So the handlebar setup on your sled is arguably probably one of the most important components on your whole setup. So definitely check out their site. They've got a ton of different products, and use SledSend24 at checkout for a discount.
I had been, I guess, looking into the Avi stuff even before you hit me up about it.
Did you have all your gear prior to the
class? No. So that was another big thing was the first time riding with you guys. I mean, I had my transceiver and my probe, but I never had the Avi bag, right? And it's like you know, Matt Entz said on the last episode, he was like, you don't know what you don't know.
Sure.
And in my head, I'm thinking, what's an Avi bag going to do? You know, if I get caught in an avalanche, and I'm caught in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But... just that first time I rode with you guys, and you guys actually went through and we did the beacon check and everything. And that was the first time I had even used my beacon, because I had it. It was just always in my backpack. I never turned it on. I didn't need it, you know, in my head. But then it's kind of been weird. Like last year, I feel like I saw a lot of Avi stuff
mm-hmm.
more than usual.
Like on social media?
Yeah, social Same. Media, like yeah. like just popping up everywhere. Like, oh, avalanche here, avalanche there. People got caught in this. Some guy got caught in this, you know, and then it started kind of kicking in. Like, dude, this is, and pictures and videos that you see, it's like, oh, we probably would have gone and played in that if we were there.
Yeah. Yep.
And so then I kind of started thinking, like, dude, I need to get a bag, and I need to get some training. And then you hit me up, and you were like, hey, we're taking this Avi course. You can get signed up if you want. There's only a couple spots left, and I think. Before me and you even got done texting that night, I was in and booked. Like I got in it and I paid however much it was and got in the course and leading up to it, I guess I knew I needed to take it, but I didn't know what I was going to get from it really.
Sure.
Like I was sitting there even like doing the online learning and through the Zoom call, like I thought it was just going to be like, oh yeah, kind of we're going to pull up on something. They're going to be like, yeah, don't go there. That's kind of bad, don't go there. I didn't realize we were going to get as much as we did
mm-hmm.
out of the course.
Yeah.
Not even remotely close
yeah.
to what we got out of it. But I'm definitely glad we did it.
Mm-hmm.
We learned a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll come back to, you know, what you learned throughout the course. But so Shay, you speak on kind of, you know, your mindset and where your head was at prior to going into the course and what you thought you were going to learn from it.
Yeah. So I mean, I've had the gear. I've actually kind of harped on people for getting the gear, which it, to me, you know, sometimes I feel like it was the pot calling the kettle black, because I had the gear. I just didn't have the training. So it's kind of like that, you know, that's all cool and dandy, right? Like, Jeff, you could have a camera, but if you don't know how to use a camera, it's not really that useful, right? So maybe a little ashamed of myself that I hadn't taken it sooner, given the like time that I've been riding and areas that I've been riding. And going into it, I didn't really know what to expect. I was pretty hopeful about learning how to read the snow, I guess. Like, I think I was pretty excited to dig a pit.
Because you're pretty nerdy about that
stuff. I like digging holes. I nerd out on the weather quite a bit, for sure. Seeing those things, I feel like we'd always heard about, like, oh, there's a persistent layer. Like, what is a persistent layer, right? Like, haven't really dug anything and gotten, just time to spend looking at that and seeing what that actually is. So I think that's kind of what I was pretty hopeful for. That, and as well as, which we didn't take the rescue course, but we did go over it, right, for a little bit.
Yeah.
That's something else I was pretty hopeful that we were going to do. And they nailed all of those things, right? Kind of to what Jose said, there was a lot of information, pretty quick too, I feel like you could probably make that course even longer if you wanted to, but I understand the fact that you're doing it over a 2-day span, and then utilizing it. But I did like the fact that, they went over it with you and they're like, okay, do it. Like, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Same with, digging to the bottom of the probe, the actual angle that you're digging at, you're not just digging straight down, right? You're coming in at it from an angle, kind of building the shelf out. That was pretty cool. But ultimately, I didn't really know what to expect, to be honest with you, going into it. Just kind of open-minded about it. Like, yeah, I'm going to try and soak up every little bit that I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Like I said, we'll come back to more in depth. But, Jeff, kind of what was your mindset going into it? Because, I mean, we're all... I guess you could say nervous about avalanche stuff, but I would say out of all of us, you're probably, I don't know if scared is the right word, but you're definitely more frightened and nervous.
Cautious.
Yeah. Than the rest of us, which is not a bad
thing.
That's
what happens when you don't have knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. So what was
my expectations were to get the knowledge I needed.
Okay.
But I mean, I knew what to expect because you and I had talked about it quite a bit
right
beforehand after you took it and stuff like that. But I feel like I learned so much. I can look at the AVI report now and confidently know where we should and shouldn't go.
Yeah.
Before, I would just see that triangle chart and see the red, orange, yellow and be like, shit, dude, I don't like any of those colors. All those colors mean caution. So.
Yeah.
Where does that mean we can ride, right?
Yeah.
And now I feel like I can go out and still enjoy a day without, like, shit in my pants, right?
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, what I found out is a lot of what we ended up playing on that last day was all pretty safe terrain.
Yep.
And before, I would have thought that was, like, danger zone stuff.
Sure. Well, it's hard to really understand, like, what 30 degrees or more.
Yeah.
Is.
Oh, absolutely.
That was my biggest takeaway the slope stuff.
Yeah.
The degree of slope.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's cool for you too, that, you got to take that with the team and everything, but then you also got to take it with your dad.
Yeah.
You know, cause you know, your dad's really getting into riding a ton.
Yeah.
And now you have the father son, you know, you guys riding together and stuff too. And so you'll drive back and forth to the mountain together and you guys can have those types of conversations together now, because it's relevant to both of you because you both took it together and understand it. So I think that's a really cool aspect that you got out of it as well.
Yeah.
Cause he learned a ton too.
Yeah. Well, he was going to go riding this weekend, but he didn't really feel like super safe going out with just two guys. So he made the call not to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
one of your biggest takeaways was, the slope stuff.
Yeah.
Is there something else that really stood out to you?
I mean, everything was good information, honestly. Yeah. Digging the pits was cool. It was cool to see the layers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that, like, helped me understand the reports a lot better just because of, like, how they word things and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have, like, that visual connection
yep.
of what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think our the guys that led the course were super cool. I think that made it like a better experience for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So they split us into groups. And so we spent most of our time with Victor and Nick. Yeah. We didn't really get to hang out with Caleb or
Kelly.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, they're studs. This is my first time meeting Nick, but obviously Victor taught us last time too. He's an absolute stud.
Yeah.
And he's funny.
Yeah. Too. He is pretty funny.
Yeah. He's definitely funny. You could tell he kind of wanted to stay professional because we're taking a serious course.
Yeah, yeah.
We should try and go ride with them sometime.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah,
that would be fun. Sure be down. Shay, what was one or two or more of your biggest takeaways from the course?
I think it would probably be how to effectively use a transceiver. And then the multi-burial, but like just kind of organizing the group when someone is buried. And how to do that effectively. So that was probably the biggest one for me. And then piggybacking again off of Jeff is the slope angle, right?
Yeah.
Kind of trying to identify what the slope angle actually is. So, and the tools that we have at our disposal to give us at least some sort of a heads up
right.
as to what the slope angle is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah. I think for me, it was definitely a refresher on some things, but I definitely increased my knowledge on several topics by taking it a second time. But some of my biggest things were was the team aspect of it, right? Because like I said, I spend most of my time with you guys writing. And so from a communication standpoint amongst the team, but then also like, and this is something that I think that we'll be able to run the rep on more than anything else is like the plan mm-hmm. for the day.
Yeah.
Right. So that's something that between all of us now and Kobe too is, you know, we can sit in the hotel the night before or whatever. We can all collectively read the forecast and all understand it and then be able to pick our plan for the next day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether that's somewhere in Washington where you've ridden, mm-hmm. so you understand areas more, right? You're going to be able to communicate that to us if it's our first time there, or you know, wherever. If it's somewhere I've ridden and you haven't, or vice versa. So that, you know, all the prerequisites that lead up to, you know, honestly just staying away from avi terrain, right? So that, cause you want to have the skills, but you never want to use them as far as saving somebody.
Yeah.
So the whole team aspect of it and the communication was something that I paid a lot of attention to. And I don't know where my fascination comes from it, whatever, growing up in Montana, being around snow my whole life, whatever, but understanding all the different types of snow.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of my biggest takeaways the first time I took it. And so I really, really retained a lot more this time.
Yeah.
Of how many, and I said it at the class too, when they were asking us our takeaways and whatnot, but all of the different variables that go into affecting snow
mm-hmm.
from wind, sun, temperature, rain, whatever, how that plays an effect in bonding the yep. snow. It's just a really interesting thing to be able to read about it for the forecast, but then also to be able to go back a couple of days or a week prior to see what has been happening leading up to the day we go ride, you know?
Yeah.
So that was a big thing for me. But then also like, again, me already taking it, it was really cool for me to be able to see all of you guys take it, learn how to use all of your gear. And it brings a lot of peace of mind to me that like, all right, the team knows now, you know? And so now the rest of the season, we can talk about it. We can run the reps. We can, you know, we can go bury a transceiver and do like a mock test. Like, hey, we just saw an avalanche over here. I think somebody got caught, and just go test it.
Yeah.
Because the reality of it is too, is like, to go do something like that, it really doesn't take that much time,
mm-mm.
you know? And so I think it's important for us moving forward to just, you know, practice some of those things from time to time, just to keep sharp on it.
You know what else I thought was interesting was the alpha angle.
Yeah, that one was pretty cool. That's pretty
You know what amazing. It reminded me of is when we were at Priest Lake. mm-hmm. and everyone was playing on that one hill. And that was definitely a hill that could have slid, right? I don't know what the danger was because I didn't check that stuff at that point.
Yeah.
But, dude, it would have that could have slid all the way across that meadow mm-hmm. or whatever that was. I don't know mm-hmm. if it was a lake or what.
Yep.
But it could have slid all the way across that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting to look at when we got over to that deck.
Yeah.
And then just put the two probes together. And,
yeah, it runs a long ways.
Yeah, because you held them together. So
yeah,
you
really held them
held a long ways.
Yeah. So we went off the angle of the ramp, and you look at the ramp, and it wasn't that far or whatever, and then we put the probes together, and it was like, oh, like this could go a ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you start getting into steeper and steeper terrain. That right. angle's kicked out more yeah. and more.
And that was just 5 foot off the ground,
yeah,
whatever it is, to the top of the deck, and it was running out 35 feet, 40 feet, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. That kind of threw me off. Like, oh, like it's not just like, oh, it's avalanche. It's going to stop at the bottom of the hill. It's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you better move.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch Muskoka's video?
Yep.
Yeah.
I did. You guys all watched it?
Uh-uh.
Oh, it was pretty good. Well, there was
some wind slab stuff, and his dad and his brother went down into a drainage.
Uh-huh.
And some wind slab stuff broke off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was a drainage that...
Did it catch him?
He put a clip even of last year that it was
like... Yeah, he went up it in March or something.
We go up to drainage all the time. And yeah, like in March, but it was all filled in. And it was just a nice climb up. And he even said it too. He was like, dude, we come up this drainage all the time. Like, he never thought about it, but... You could tell in the video he was kind of sketched out just by the way he was talking and the things
he was
saying.
You could tell that they were all like, oh, this is...
Yeah, his dad was...
His dad was scared. His dad concerned. Was off his sled walking mm-hmm. away. Like, he didn't even want to sit on his sled where he was at.
So what was it? Just a wind slab broke loose and came down on, like, while they were...
It just broke loose. It didn't...
It had started to slide a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And they stopped. And so nothing, like... slid completely.
It was just a small hill too. It wasn't even all that big. Like it broke off and started to go,
mm-hmm.
and they saw that and they stopped. And right where they stopped, if they would have gone up another, I don't know, 20, 30 feet, there was a bigger hill that was open, and so that's when his dad stopped and was like,
"Yeah,
hey, I don't like this.
I'll have to watch that one."
Yeah.
It was really good to watch after taking the class.
Yeah, I think it was literally like the day after.
Yeah, it was
days after we came back from our course.
I watched.
You dropped it.
I did just watch one. I think while I was when we were in Sealy, this didn't happen in Sealy, but I just saw it on Instagram where there's three people, right? Two people. If you're looking uphill, kind of the left hand flank of the hill, someone goes up about mid hill. I don't know if they fall off their sled or roll off their sled or something like that.
Oh, I saw that on your story.
Yeah.
Skidoos
or something. What
I think so.
I know which one you're talking about.
And a guy's like, oh, you know, like he's like, oh, you okay? And then like goes to turn around. And as he's turning around, he sees the avalanche. You can't really see it in the video, but he starts yelling like, Avi, Avi, Avi. The guy that's on the left-hand flank, I think he kind of stayed over there. But this time the guy that's talking is on the right-hand flank. He turns back around, and the hill, I mean, the hill doesn't look crazy at all, right? Like it doesn't look like anything. And then all of a sudden you see the avalanche come through the trees and he starts going and he's not going very fast. Then he like really starts to try and go, but it was too late by that time. It catches him. And then all of a sudden the screen just goes black.
Dude.
Right.
As soon like as
everything's black.
As soon as I saw that thing, I was...
Yeah.
And you can hear him breathing.
I think he was trying to keep an eye on his buddy, but I mean... At that time, like he came off a sled and everything, and everyone survived, thankfully.
Which,
but
in that situation,
wild.
Yeah, you should try and keep an eye out for your buddy, but you have to like do what's best
yourself. You're not going to be any good to your buddy if you're buried too.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
So,
yeah, for sure.
Everyone's got to use their own instincts to figure out what to do, and then you.
Yeah, but it happened
from there,
quick.
I think.
Yeah. It happened real quick. Mm-hmm. Like you see it come through the trees, and then all of a sudden it's like, it's there, it's on him.
Yeah.
That's another thing too is we talked about, I don't remember who it was, but we were at our Abbey course and we talked about a guy that got caught in an avalanche and he said he didn't have time to pull his back.
Mm-hmm.
And in that video, like I even thought to myself when I saw the hill starting to slide and the guy that we got, that the clip was from his GoPro, I'm thinking to myself, like, pull your back.
Yeah.
And I never saw his arm come across to pull his bag or anything. And I'm thinking they're like,
yeah,
inflate your bag, inflate it, hit it, pull it. And I don't think he ever did. But I mean, I'm sure that's one of those things where you're in there and you get caught in one and you're not thinking. Like it's
your mind instant. Just gets locked.
Like, yeah, you're just like, oh, what do I do? You know, you lock up. But I would like to think if I was in that situation, if I see something start to slide, like I'm pulling my bag, whether I'm getting caught in it or not. I don't want to be caught without my bag deployed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll be the guy that sees like the tiniest one and just pulls it.
Snowball rolls down like the hill. Snowball rolls down. Pops it. Jeff, what are you doing?
Somebody
the wingsuit going.
Somebody starts to climb a hill and Roost hits some dude and he's
oh, better safe than sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Perks of having an electric bag.
Yeah, no kidding.
Better hope that shoulder strap stays on, dude.
Yeah.
We need to get him a new one.
Yeah, the bag's not gonna last much longer with me.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Jose, did you have any other takeaways? Big moments or anything?
I guess just like digging the pits, that was cool to me because you think of snow, like obviously we go ride. So we can kind of tell the difference if we're riding, you know, like Shay said, mashed potatoes, if we're riding powder, or if there's a hard crust on top and you're kind of sliding all over the place. But when we dug that pit, it like broke it down. You know, we had soft fluff up top. We could stick our whole fist in and then just a couple inches below that, four fingers, one finger, like we couldn't. Yeah. It gets hard, you know?
The measuring metric's pretty funny.
Yeah, it is.
It's completely backwards. But
from what you normally do?
Hey, I don't know if I normally do it, but from what
you
others...
You want to start off with a knife, huh?
Yeah. Knife first, every time.
Oh, my Atlanta.
Yeah, that's funny. That was when I realized Victor was trying to stay professional because he wanted to laugh so bad when I started cracking jokes when we were doing the pit stuff, but... I think that was wild to me, seeing like the consistency of the snow, seeing how hard it was or how soft it was, depending on where you're at and what the weather did. You know, you can tell what the weather did by the layers.
Mm-hmm.
That, and then like you said, the team thing. Like, if you go take this course by yourself, I don't feel like you'd take it as seriously because you're gonna look around and look at the guys and be like, well, I don't ever ride with these guys. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Like, what?
So wait,
what
you get way more out of it when you're with the group you're with.
Yeah, because like when we split good off point. Into our groups, you know, we did like the rescue training and sitting there, you know, doing the transceiver stuff and everything. It's like you get more invested because I want you to know how to use your beacon. Mm-hmm. I want you to know how to use your beacon
absolutely.
I'm stuck, you know? So if you take it with a group of guys that you don't ride with ever, you're like, well, he doesn't know how to use his beacon. That doesn't affect me, you know, but going like we did with the group, I think it was super beneficial for all of us because now we know, like, we can go up and have the peace of mind and know that if one of us gets caught in an avalanche, any one of us knows how to use our beacon to find whoever's buried.
Yep. So that's a really good point. So it'll lead into this next question. So not so much Jeff, but Jose and Shay, you guys definitely have, I mean, I know we kind of all enjoy riding with each other, but, you know, you definitely, you know, you ride with AJ and some other people that weren't at the course or anything or haven't had any Abbey training. Shay, you ride with a bunch of family and friends and stuff in Washington and whatnot that may not have Abbey training. So speak to your guys' thoughts on, you know, the next time you guys go out, with those individuals that don't have the training, how are you guys going to, you know, handle that situation?
I as soon as we got back, I told AJ, next time we go out, we're going to do some stuff. And just, I mean, I'm sure it's not going to be like him taking the course, obviously. I don't think there's a substitute for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But at least kind of give him any knowledge that I can, because like you said, most of the time I'm riding with him. I'm not riding with you guys. I'm riding with him and with his dad. And all three of us just barely got Abbey bags. We got our bags the week before the Abbey course.
Yeah.
And so, I told him, I said, next time we go ride, like we'll go out and I feel like I'm pretty comfortable with the pit digging stuff and that training. And I wrote it all down in the book that we got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at least dig a pit and tell them like, hey, this is what we're looking at when they say persistent slab, when they say storm slab and stuff like that, you know, just to kind of get them on the same page or up to speed at least a little bit to like you said, it's all about peace of mind, right? None of us want to actually get caught in a navy, so we don't ever want to have to use what we learned. But just to know, like, if it did happen, we're good. Like, we know what, we know at least what we want to do.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Tyler with SledSend. Wanted to take a second of your guys' time and ask for your guys' support for what we're doing with the brand of SledSend. So if you guys are enjoying, you know, the podcast episodes with all the different guests, the tour videos and such, check out SledSend.com. We have a variety of different merch. Every order comes with air fresheners and stickers. And like I said, we appreciate your guys' support. We need it to continue to do this. And without further ado, let's get into the video.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say kind of that same thing. There's a couple people. Well, you met Camden. I like riding with Camden a lot. Mm-hmm. I didn't really get to share anything with him yet, but I definitely like to. Same with my cousin that I ride with pretty frequently. Probably talked to him quite a bit about it. Showing him the angles, like how to actually do things, use a transceiver the right way. Those are big things that I'm going to share with them, of course. Pretty much what Jose said. But I think a big thing that I feel like I've ran into with people, and I was just as guilty of this right before taking this course, was sure. I don't want to, like, we have a limited time in the field that we get to ride these sleds, right? I don't want to waste a weekend, right, and go take a course. But in all reality, you're not wasting anything, right? You're gaining a lot from that weekend. I think it's kind of coming down to one of those things of, you know, if you're not willing to do that, I hope you're willing to go talk to my family and tell them why you couldn't find me.
That's a good right? point.
It's shitty. It's really shitty to say it that way. But in reality, that's what it comes down to, right? I don't want to go and tell someone that, hey, I couldn't get him out, you know?
Yeah.
That's
a good,
really, really what it comes down to, I think, for me at this point, is if you don't want to do it, then, that's what I'm going to tell you is, okay. And I hope you're ready to have this hard conversation, because it's a lot harder than paying, you know, some money and going and yeah, spending the weekend, right. Which 100%. Granted, this course doesn't give you like the golden ticket, like, oh yeah, I took the course, I'm absolutely going to find this person, right? Yeah, it doesn't. But this, it does give you a huge edge.
This is something we will forever have to run reps on and practice and talk about.
Absolutely.
Until the day we don't ride sleds anymore.
Absolutely. Ultimately just trying to share as much knowledge as you can, mm-hmm. With anyone and everyone, right? Even talking to them about it. Like, I mean, if you see random people in a parking lot and they don't have anything, just talking to them, hey, where are you guys going today? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Kind of understanding it and asking those questions. I mean, you might look like that butthead out there that's, oh, this guy's just a know-it-all, when not trying to be a know-it-all, just mm-hmm. trying to broaden everyone's spectrum of knowledge here and understanding of this stuff.
And I think one of the best ways, I think I was talking to Kobe about this on the way back, one of the best ways for us collectively to retain the information that we learned is to share and teach others.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So like, that's one of the best ways for us to retain that information, is to teach other people, you know, what we've learned, you know, repeat. Jeff, is there, we'll kind of wrap this episode up. We're almost at 50 minutes or so.
Flies on here, dude.
Yeah, wow. Dude, it goes by quick. I think I want kind of each of us to speak kind of directly to you guys that are watching and listening, to the people that are maybe hesitant on taking a course, to the people that don't really care about Avi stuff, that, you know, I think there's part of it's a generational thing, you know, 18 to, you know, 25, 26, 27. It's not really the cool thing, you know, and I think that's something that I want to press through our medium that we have here, like, you know, 'cause we're all right around 30. It is a cool thing, to talk about this stuff. It is a cool thing to get the training. It is a cool thing to know that my riding buddies have the same amount of knowledge that I have, and you know, I feel safe about it. And yep. I almost look at the AVI training stuff like it's not ever possible, but I almost wish that it was required for you to have some sort of AVI training before you're even allowed into the backcountry.
At least an online course.
Something.
Some sort of like license.
I wish it was like a law. Like you are required to take X thing before you're allowed to ride in the mountains, because it's so serious, and it's the reality of what we do as snowmobilers. You know, we ride in the mountains.
Yep.
You know, and there's avalanche terrain. Jeff, you kind of started off. Is there anything that you can think of that you could say, or wisdom that you could share to people that are maybe in their heads or don't really think it's important or anything, or as to why they should look into it?
Nothing too deep. You don't look very cool purple under 12 feet of snow.
So. Yeah.
Honestly, that's about it. Like, mm-hmm. Don't be lazy.
Yeah.
Don't be a dipshit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Remember when we went to Priest Lake and I didn't have a transceiver?
You didn't have a transceiver, yep.
I was kind of like the outcast.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I don't know, that's more when, how many years ago was that? Three?
Three.
Yeah. So that was like early on for me with riding.
And shame on me for not having a second one for you.
Yeah. At that moment, I didn't understand why, you know, I don't know. You could tell I was treated different. For sure.
Yeah.
Not by everyone, but just by a few, obviously, because they had the knowledge we have now. But, I don't know. Just go do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason not to.
Yep. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, we've heard this multiple times on the podcast from other viewers, but how much money did you spend on your sled? And you're willing to spend that much money on a toy, but you're not willing to spend that much money on the tools to rescue either yourself or whoever you're riding with, right? That's not cool at all. I would say it is pretty cool to get home that night.
Yeah,
like, for sure. It's cool to be able to share these riding stories with everybody. What's not cool is probably pulling a dead body out of the backcountry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't wish that upon anybody.
Yeah.
Been there. Been guilty of it. Can't say that I haven't. But you know, get the tools that you need to go play on those toys. You don't.
Yep.
It's kind of like having a carriage without a horse, or a horse without a carriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have them both.
Yeah,
it's what you need.
It's selfish not to.
Yep. It is. It's so selfish. Like if you want to come ride and you don't have like, sorry, I'm not trying to bag on you or anything. If you don't have a transceiver and you want to ride with me, then like, what does that tell me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's cool. Like, well, I can't find you now. So now you're putting me in a position to have those hard conversations, not only with you, but like it with your family, God forbid anything happened, or that you're not going to find me.
Yep.
Right. Like, how do you find me if you don't have a transceiver? And even if you had a transceiver, do you know how to use it?
Yep.
Right. If you're sitting there trying to find me and you're still transceiving, like, okay, yeah. that's cool. But meanwhile, I'm suffocating.
You know what I found interesting is I thought I'd show up to the AVI course and have like less knowledge on that stuff than like everyone there. And guys that have been riding way longer than me hardly knew how to use their transceiver, which surprised me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So for me, I mean, I think we can all agree on this because we're all fathers, but you know, for me, it's the aspect of not coming home to Addison.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, even if you don't have a kid, you could be in a situation where you're out riding and you run into another group that got caught in an avalanche, and maybe they have kids and you don't have the knowledge to try to help them. You know, even if you have the knowledge,
that's why it's selfish. Pull up and,
exactly. Yeah. Right, so it's not all about you. You could run into another group that's caught or in trouble or something, and then I'll speak on, you know, I've been fairly strict on it the last couple of seasons, but I think I'm going to greatly increase my strictness on it, to the solid fact that if you don't have the stuff, I'm not riding with you, period. Yeah. Like you can turn around and go home.
Well, my dad bought his sled. That's what I told him, is you have to go buy everything else.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now that you have a more capable sled, especially, and you're going to be getting off trails a lot more.
Yep. Well, it's just like,
you have to.
Yep. We're next weekend. We're doing the sled send ride with, it was 6 winners. Now it's 5. One of them had to drop out, but, and you guys all saw, you're not in the group yet, but you saw my message of, yep, like, if you don't have the Avi gear, go buy it or go borrow it. I don't have any spare stuff. That one other kid said that he had some spare stuff. Mm-hmm. But I said right there in the message, like, if you do not have Avi gear, you will not be allowed to ride with us, period.
Yep.
Did everyone have it?
I think I've talked to pretty much everybody individually, and most everybody has it. I think there's one kid that he said he was going to borrow a transceiver in a bag or something from a buddy or whatever. Yeah. So I think we're squared. But it's just like one of those things, like, and if it came down to it, even if I said that message and a guest, one of the winners showed up and they didn't have their stuff and we didn't have spares, I don't care how far you traveled to come here. You're not riding with us.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you spent all the gas money and whatever to get here, but you're not coming.
Yeah.
And that's just, that's black and white. And so like, even, you know, if we're up at Tollgate and one of us has a buddy that's up there and wants to jump in with us and they don't have stuff, you're not riding with us.
Yep.
And call me an ass or whatever, I don't care, but I don't want to have the hard conversation with his wife.
No.
You know? And so like, I think that, collectively, that's something that we all need to instill within ourselves and just hold ourselves to that standard, because it's just not a joke. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, it's that one person that you let join the group that doesn't have anything that goes and rides above all of us and, mm-hmm,
yeah,
buries us.
Yeah.
Then they can't find us.
Yeah. Yeah. Jose, is there anything you want to say to listeners and viewers?
I just go take the course. I mean, kind of like how you said, you know, we all have kids. We all have a family that we need to come back to that depends on us outside of the snowmobile stuff. Right. I mean, we provide for our family, you know, and mm-hmm, we leave and go on trips and stuff to go ride and stuff. But at the end of the day, we're coming back to our family and everything we do all year round is for them. So go take that course. And I mean, it's like I was saying earlier, the Avi stuff kind of ramped up over the last season, but I mean, we see all that stuff, but why did it take all the tragedies to happen for everybody to get serious about, mm-hmm, Avi courses, you know?
Yeah, like, it's unfortunate.
The Ken Block thing last year, you know? Everybody knew who Ken Block was. And I mean, sure, he was known for like the cars and stuff like that, but that guy's an athlete, you know? Yeah. Like a professional athlete, either way you want to look at it, he's a professional athlete. And if he can get caught in one and
I don't think
he got mousetrapped.
Yeah, he didn't get caught in an avalanche. He mousetrapped.
Oh, still sled, gotcha. The mountain doesn't give a shit who you are.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yes. But like, or Rob Kincaid, we talked, yep, about that at the Avi, yeah, course, mm-hmm, right? Rob Kincaid, he professional snowmobiler. And I mean, if it can happen to him, why can't it happen to any of us? We do this for fun, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not our job. So go take it.
No, that's what I was going to say, is 99% of the people that listen to this, it's not like this is their job and they're making money, yeah, from, right, it, right? Like, yeah, you're going to play.
Yeah.
If you die because you're going to play and you, yeah, didn't want to, you know, go take an Avi course, that's a big fuck you to your family.
Yeah.
That's a good,
it really is,
right there.
Yeah. Go get, yep, your cardio right, though, before you.
Then make you walk down, dude, the hills.
And I don't back know. Up I and, don't know if it was just Victor or what, but dude, the stuff we were climbing. Up and down. Whoa.
Yeah.
Get your cardio right.
Yeah.
Get it way right.
Dude, you know you can buy little oxygen bottles at Big Five?
A little, yeah, oxygen shot. Just
dude.
Keep it in your bag so after you get someone unstuck, you just take a hit.
Dude, that's kind of sick, actually.
Yeah. Not a bad idea. Well, cool. I think we'll wrap this episode up. I mean, if you've gotten to this far through the podcast, you have probably collected the information that avalanche stuff is pretty serious to the sled send team. And if you guys have any other further questions or concerns, or just want to talk about Avi stuff, all 4 of our DMs are open. I'll put all of our links. If, yep, you're not already following Jose, Shay, I hope you all are following Sledson by now, but I'll put everybody's links in the description, and all four of us are willing to put any amount of time to have conversations around that stuff, answering any kind of questions. We definitely don't know it all. I will also put a link to the Wallowa Avalanche Center and their Instagram too. Pretty sure their Instagram is ran by Victor. He's a great asset to ask questions.
Absolutely.
Too, as well. So yeah, I mean, we take it serious. And we are going to continue to increase our knowledge and our practices amongst the team. And I do want to say one point that I think it was pretty cool that Jeff texted me last night. And he was like, I think we should do a level two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All of it. Rescue yeah. and the level two.
Yep.
I had fun. So
yeah,
so
I had a great time.
So the one-day rescue course is a prerequisite mm-hmm. to
level two.
Level two. So we would all have to collectively do that.
Yep.
I've already done it once, but I'd do it all again with everybody. And so, I mean, that's kind of our trajectory. Like, we take it serious. We're constantly always going to be talking to each other about it, learning the forecast, discussing that. And it's going to be a non-negotiable in our writing together. And we're going to install that into other people that are not necessarily affiliated with Sledson, but are other groups that we ride with. Only just like selfishly for ourselves. And then also, you know, to be an influence to you guys that are watching and listening, because it is a cool thing. And it is important, and we all take it very seriously. So, okay, that wraps up this episode. Jose, I don't think we all need to, and I'll just clip his, but Jose, you said before we started the podcast that you've got your question.
Yeah, completely unrelated to Abby stuff.
Okay.
But if we take away all outside factors, right? Money, work, family, whatever. If you could wake up one day and go for a week free, all expenses paid, whatever you wanted to do, what like the riding clinics, where are you going to go for your biggest experience, right? You got Matt Ants with Mountain Skills. You got Dan Adams Next Level. You got Brant's Backcountry Adventure. You got the guys up in Canada at Stoke.
Kasturki.
You know, you got all those guys guiding and doing clinics and stuff. Where are you going and why? That's my thing.
Yeah, that's a good.
Maybe we should take a clinic next year.
That'd be sick.
Cody's dad wants to. He wants to take Kasturki's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Didn't they go? They went to Next Level, right?
Who?
You're talking about Bennett.
Jordan Bennett.
No, Jordan Bennett. They just went to Sains.
Yeah, Sains Skinners.
That's the one that I want to go to.
Yeah.
So I think I would either do Sains or Stoked with Turcotte.
Oh, yeah.
Because that dude, that guy's a loose cannon, dude. that's my kind of party right there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah, we should collectively. I mean, we should all save up for that and make that a plan for next year. That'd be really fun. Cool.
Not saying if I got an open invite to anywhere else, you know, not saying I wouldn't take it, but if I could just wake up in a lodge somewhere, it'd be Grizzly with Turcotte.
Hell yeah.
Or the Stoked group.
Forgot to talk about, should we talk about that idea I had for practicing?
Yeah.
Should we do that this weekend?
Like today?
I
see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
This is coming out Friday. So yes,
makes sense.
Should we do this tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell them about it.
Yeah. What was your idea? You tell them.
You tell them.
So, I don't know what day it was, whatever. I don't know if you call.
It was when you guys were headed up to Sealy.
Yeah. So Jeff called me and he had an idea that we should do for the Sledson ride, because I think it'd be cool. To take a backpack and a transceiver and bury it, or a couple of them, but then put like some Sledson merch in the backpack as well.
We're gonna do like a. I think we should do a competition.
Yeah, right? That'd be
like
pretty good.
Whoever finds the bag like gets to keep whatever's in there.
Yeah,
essentially. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like we should do that every year.
That's actually a really good
idea. Just as like something fun.
Yeah. Heck yeah. I like that.
Yeah, some merch and $50 to fill up your gas tank or something.
Climb
some
firecrackers
just to have a party. Yeah.
Yep.
Some fire starter. Since I was the only one that had a fire starting
kit. Burn it down.
Carbon Pursuit gift card, you know? Yep. Something like that. It'd be good to do stuff with like the guys we're close with.
Yeah.
Like
absolutely.
That.
Yeah.
I bet you we could get some other people involved on that
idea. Yeah.
I
think it's a really cool idea. We'll do it.
I'd be sick
for sure.
Cool.
So we need to do it this weekend now that we talked about it.
Yep.
Because I want us to do it first and have a little video to release before anyone else tries to do it.
I think we should do it at the Sled Send Ride, and whoever finds the first bag gets a dozen of Grandma's chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, dude, those are so dangerous. Those cookies are dangerous.
Yeah.
I had way too many.
We were tempted because that cat ate my bread.
Yeah.
At the house. Yeah. So we were tempted to smack all those cookies and say the cat ate them.
Cat got into them. Sorry. They're gone.
Yeah, there was only four left, and Kobe snapped up the bag and ate them on the way to Sealy.
Oh, dude, those cookies are good.
So. Yeah, we're going to have more for this weekend.
Dope.
My grandma doesn't know that yet, though. There's 17 of us, and hey, Grandma, I need you to make
full day ordeal.
17 dozen chocolate chip cookies.
Go clear the grocery store out of cookie dough.
So, well, cool. Oh. Sledson listeners, unless you guys have any other points to make? No? Cool. Sledson listeners, thank you guys for tuning in on this episode. As always, like I just said, our DMs are open. Any questions, concerns, ideas, whatever, hit any of us up. All of us will take the time. Thanks for tuning in. We will catch you guys on the next one.
See ya.
Say bye.
Say bye-bye.
Go boom. Outro.
Go boom. Good job.